Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen.
Amen.
The letters of Paul to Timothy are timeless because they still, to this very day, are useful for instruction, encouragement under hardship, and are honest about the imperfect nature of humanity. In today's lesson from Paul's second letter to Timothy, Paul instructs him to tell the faithful, remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Our words, what we say or write, and how we receive what other people say or write can get us into trouble and accentuate our imperfect human nature when we communicate with our family, with our friends, or with anyone for that matter. It's even been said 90% of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. Think about that for a minute. 90% of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. The internet, cell phones, and texting has made the ability to hurt one another way too easy, which is why the Sci-Fi Channel decided to air a reality show called The Internet Ruined My Life. This show exposes the unexpected perils of living in a social media-obsessed world. Each half hour explores what happens to a person when a single tweet, post, or status update backfires and spirals out of control. Told through first-person accounts, this series takes stories ripped from the headlines and reveals how people just like you and me inadvertently ruin their lives in one keystroke. Situations include a tweet that results in a sniper outside one woman's door. A photo taken of a man is turned into a meme, which destroys his reputation. And a chef who defends a friend online, only to find his career in shambles. Because it's easy for us to hurt ourselves, to hurt each other, and for those in authority to make harmful decisions, Paul gives us this very wise and spiritual instruction to bring peace back into our lives. In his first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we read this a few weeks ago, I ask that requests, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Pray for everyone who is in authority so we can live a quiet and peaceful life in complete godliness and dignity. This is right and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth. After Nero threw Paul and other Christians into prison for supposedly setting fire to Rome, Paul wrote these encouraging words in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. So, my child, draw your strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take the things you heard me say in front of many other witnesses and pass them on to faithful people who are also capable of teaching others. And in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 16, which for some reason is actually skipped over in the lectionary for some reason. We will not have it next week. Paul writes about how we should communicate with one another. Stay away from foolish, useless talk, because that will lead people further away from God. Each of those Pauline elements are in today's 8 short verses from 2 Timothy. Number 1, encouragement. If we die with Jesus, we will live with Jesus. If we do not have faith, Jesus remains faithful because Jesus cannot be unfaithful to his promises. Number 2, the fallible nature of people. Avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. And finally, instruction. Do all you can to present yourself to God as someone worthy of his approval, as a worker with no need to be ashamed, because he deals straightforwardly with the word of the truth. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to encourage each other and to encourage those we meet with kind words and actions. But we are fallible people who need to be careful when we speak, when we email, when we text, when we Twitter, if you're into Twittering, or when we post things on Facebook, because it's easy for us to misunderstand each other. How many of us have actually added the wrong tone of voice to an email, to a letter, or to a text? Those are reasons why we need instruction. And this anagram I ran across called THINK can help us mutually encourage one another and avoid harmful communications. THINK. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And if what we want to say, email, text, Twitter, or post, doesn't affirmatively answer each of those questions, then perhaps we need to be silent. We need to not send that text, that email, or tweet, or make that post on Facebook. By using THINK in all our communications, we will be moving ever closer to presenting ourselves to God as a worker, rightly explaining the truth of God's saving love through Jesus Christ to another person. And presenting ourselves as faithful, unashamed workers whose word, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't require us to knock on doors or hold up a sign on a street corner saying, "Repent, Jesus is coming soon." All we need to do is to pay attention to our words. Do something for someone else, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest, which is shown in this woman's testimony. Years ago, I wore a tiny cross pin on my shirt because they were an inexpensive way to witness. I purchased a dozen or so at a time. Every time someone commented on mine, I'd give it to them as a gift. Once in a 7-Eleven store, the female clerk complimented on my cross. Instinctively, I offered it to her. For several moments, she tried to refuse until she finally but reluctantly accepted the gift. Years went by and I'd almost forgotten about the 7-Eleven woman. After church one week, a woman stopped me in the lobby and said she had to thank me. Trembling as she spoke, she explained, "You probably don't remember me, but years ago you gave me this." She reached into her purse and pulled out the small cross. "When you offered me this cross, my life couldn't have been worse. I didn't feel worthy of such a generous gift. But God showed me that He still loved me. My life is different today because of what you did for me. What I did was almost nothing, but to someone else, it meant almost everything." This week, because you are faithful and God is faithful to you, ask God in your prayers to help your words be more encouraging and help you to discover that one little thing you can do very regularly to lift up someone who is suffering hardship and show them that Jesus loves them as much as Jesus loves you. We'll now have a moment of silence for reflection.